This is another segment of the songs of the people. And how could we speak and preach and teach from the Psalms without addressing Psalm 23? The most beloved and best known, perhaps, of all the Psalms and even of the Scriptures. Great to see so many students here today. This is Come Together Weekend, and I want to encourage you students and parents always to be faithful in worship and in your student ministry as well. But it's great to see so many students with us here today. The title of this message is Everything We Need. Psalm 23 has been called the greatest poem penned in any language. And in reality, it is a poem and it is a song. It is a song of the people. And it sounds the chords of human experience. It is a masterpiece, really. Not only a poem, but a portrait. And it is a pastoral portrait of shepherds and of sheep and of fields. It is written by David, who himself was a shepherd, a musician, who became a giant killer and a warrior king. It was said of David that David shepherded Israel with the integrity of his heart and the skillfulness of his hands. He was a shepherd as a boy and a shepherd throughout his life. And David learned the truths of this great psalm in solitary in Bethlehem's shepherd's fields long, long ago. And yet the words of Psalm 23 move us to this very day very deeply. It has been quoted in nurseries and on battlefields. It is stated and sung in funerals and at weddings. We have seen it quoted and heard it at deathbeds and sickbeds, as well as birthday parties and celebrations of life. For it is a psalm for all seasons, because we have a shepherd who is the shepherd for all seasons. Beginning in verse 1, read along with me. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. And with crescendo, verse 6, surely goodness and mercy, in fact, say it with me, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David most likely is writing this at the end of his life. He is remembering his days as a shepherd boy when he first realized God is my shepherd, and his peace, his protection, his provision, his promises, after all of these years, have led me all the way. The shepherd feeds us and leads us. And that's, of course, what this psalm is about. His peace, his provision, his protection. And therefore, this passage has become one of the most reassuring reads in all of the Bible. Just this week, as I was seeking to comfort some folks going through deep waters and deep valleys, I was quoting the 23rd Psalm, as I have done year after year after year, and peace flooded our conversation as we spoke of our shepherd and that he provides for our every need. Let's begin as we take this apart. And one of the challenges of speaking and listening to something that you've heard many times, a passage that you've heard many times before, is we can take it for granted. So I've really asked the Lord to give me keen insights as to how to deliver this today, and some fresh insights as to just what this means when we talk about first the presence of the shepherd, our shepherd. Verse 1 begins, "The Lord is my shepherd." The Lord. It's a word in all caps in your Bibles because it refers to the proper and personal name of God, which is almost impossible to define or to describe. It is the word we know as Yahweh, some perhaps Jehovah. But it is that covenant name of God, that revealed name of God, who He is. The Lord is my shepherd, the Lord. That name was given to Moses at the burning bush when God was calling and commissioning Moses to deliver the children of Israel. Moses halted, but God said, "Take your shoes off. I am that I am." It's a word which literally means I exist. It is descriptive of the self-existent God, eternal God. The Bible begins with these words, "In the beginning, God." You say, "Explain that." I can't. No one can explain the eternal existence of God. But the reality, the fact of God exists. In the beginning, God, the Lord is. So they were talking about, you know, holidays. So, you know, the Christians have Christmas and Easter, and the Jewish people have Passover. Said, it's not fair. What do atheists have? Well, I have a suggestion. April 1 would be a good holiday because the Bible says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. You know, if you could explain God, He wouldn't be God. He is always God, always has been God. And He is the same yesterday as He was every day in eternity past and in eternity future. What you think about God tells a lot about you. It really defines your life, how you understand and think and contemplate about God. And I would advise you to continue to meditate and contemplate upon the glory and the greatness and the goodness of God. How great you are. He is the Lord. There was a great African-American preacher by the name of S.M. Lockridge. Shadrach, Meshach, Lockridge. He pastored a church for many years in Southern California, San Diego, delivered some powerful messages that I will never forget. He was speaking on this subject, Psalm 23 on one occasion, and he just took the first three words, "The Lord is." And he said, "Now look, the Lord is. The Lord always has been is. The Lord always will be is." He said, "Now I know that's not good grammar, but you can't worry about the grammar when you're talking about the Lord." Amen. The Lord is. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So that means that God is eternally great and glorious. God's not older now and can't not do what He used to do. No, God is almighty. He is the great. I am, the Lord is. And when David thought about that and then realized the Lord is this great God, the great I am, He is my shepherd. Because David understood that not only the immensity of God, beyond our imagination and contemplation, but he also understood the immanency of God and the intimacy of God. The Lord is my shepherd. And just as David cared for his sheep and tended the flocks and watched over them. He said, my God is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, and he is watching over me. Frankly, shepherds, by the time of Christ, so David was a great shepherd king and noted as a shepherd. By the time of the birth of Jesus, the shepherds truly were, that was a lowly profession. It may sound romantic to say I'm a shepherd, but in the time of Christ, the shepherds were actually considered lowlifes. If you couldn't get a job doing something else, be a shepherd. And so to think that the great God of heaven, God Almighty, the great I Am, stoops to be a shepherd. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verses 10 and 11, that the thief comes to kill and steal and destroy. But I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. And then he added, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. Insert the good news of the gospel right there. Martin Luther called the 23rd Psalm the Little Bible, the great reformer Luther. This year is the 500th year of the Reformation. Luther led that Reformation initially. He said, he was a great scholar. He said, Psalm 23 is like a little Bible. And when you think about it, it's true that God is present and that he has condescended to become our shepherd. And now we know who he is because Jesus is the good shepherd who laid down his life for his sheep, who gave himself in sacrifice for his sheep. That's you and me. The writer of Hebrews in Hebrews 13, 20 called Jesus that great shepherd of the sheep. No wonder when you read Psalm 23, there is no fear here. Nothing but confidence. There is no psalm of lament in this passage because it's just full of faith. It is full of confidence. It is full of certainties. It is the sufficiency of the Savior that he is a strong yet tender shepherd who cares for us and is always with us. He holds on to us and keeps us. He leads us. He feeds us and provides abundant provision for our lives. The Lord is. It means that he is always present, always there for us, for the believer. He is adequate and accessible. He is timeless and he is trustworthy. He is the God of every day and he is the God of every moment. The Lord is my shepherd. Who is he? He is Yahweh God. He is Yeshua Jesus. He is the great I Am. He is the one who says, I am here and I'm here now for you and forever. Martin Luther also said that the heart of Christianity is seen in its personal pronouns. The heart of Christianity is seen in its personal pronouns. The fact is, this psalm is a very simple psalm and is filled with pronouns. In fact, if you were to take your pen and just begin circling the pronouns, the personal pronouns in Psalm 23, you would discover there are 28 of them in these six verses. Someone said this psalm is universal because it is so personal. And these personal pronouns remind us that our relationship with God is now personal because he is our shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. It means that I can have a personal relationship with God, the God who made me. In fact, Jesus said concerning his shepherding as our Savior in John 10, that the good shepherd knows his sheep by name. When you travel in the Middle East in particular and you meet shepherds, which I have done, they actually do know the names of their sheep. Just like we name our dogs, they name their sheep. And the sheep knows the voice of the shepherd, and he knows their name. Tommy Walker wrote, "He knows my name. He knows my every thought. He sees each tear that falls and hears me when I cry." That's our shepherd. We are the sheep of his pasture, and these are the pastures of the king. The prophet Isaiah weighed in on our good shepherd. This is such a sweet verse. I wanted to make sure you heard it today in Isaiah 40:11. "He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with young." This is our shepherd. Jesus told a very powerful and personal story regarding shepherds and their flocks. He said, "A man, a shepherd, had a flock of 100. This is in Luke 15. A flock of 100 sheep. And when he was putting them down for the night, after a long day, he's counting them. Not only does God know our name, he numbers his sheep. He knows who we are, where we are. And so when he counts them, he realizes that one is missing. So what does he do? Well, I'll tell you what he didn't do. He didn't say, "Well, too bad, so sad. I've got 99, I could lose one. It's just one, it's only one. I've still got 99, it won't do." That's not what he did. Jesus said, "This shepherd left the 99, the 99, and he went looking for that one lost lamb. At personal risk and sacrifice, the good shepherd stayed after that wayward sheep until he found that little lamb and brought him back to the flock." I never hear that story. I never think about what Jesus said about that shepherd that I'm not reminded that this is our call as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We could say, "You know what? We got a big crowd here. We got 99, one missing won't hurt. Why would we reach one more? Why would we go for some more? Why would we go for any more? Why would we keep going? Why would we keep searching? Why would we keep giving? Why would we keep sharing the gospel? Why? Because as long as one is lost, Jesus cares. And we should care also. That's why we keep going and keep sharing the good news of Christ. And I'm so glad that the Lord included me, that he came looking for me. And if you don't know him, he's looking for you as well. Now, here's the thing about sheep. They're not very smart. In fact, they're pretty much clueless and helpless without a shepherd. They'll wander off. They'll follow their noses. They'll follow the crowd. Sheep are sort of mob-centered. They'll just follow, you know, one sheep will follow the other sheep. You know, sheep will get out there. "Oh, come over here. There's a little grass over here." And then they get a little closer to the cliff. "Come over here. There's a little grass over here. Come over here. There's a little closer to the cliff. And come over here." And said, it's not so bad right over the cliff." And they'll all go with him. That's sheep. They're wanderers. And they're weak. For example, who ever heard of a team mascot being the sheep? I've heard lots of crazy mascots. I was thinking about a few of them that I've known. Over in Arkansas, there's a college that has the boll weevils. And then there's the Swampus Cats at Conway High School, Arkansas. My birthplace town. Then there's the sand gnats. They got a mention. There's the mud hens. Up here in Jacksboro, Texas, there's the jackrabbits. Hawaii is the rainbow. I won't comment on that. Yesterday, our little t-ball team, my little son Levi and his team, they're named the Little Rascals. It's fun. Have a great name, but I dare say you won't find hardly any, if any, teams named the Sheep. Come on, sheep, let's take them. No. Because sheep are weak and they're frankly stupid and they're aimless and anxious and they'll blindly follow anything. So, no offense, but they're a lot like us. This is us, all right? Because the Bible says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to our own way. This is our condition, our spiritual condition apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why it's so good that he came looking for us and he brought us into his flock and into his family. We are his sheep. He is our shepherd. That's his presence. But then think for a few moments about the provision of the shepherd. Verse 1 again says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. This means the shepherd provides for our needs. I like the way the Living Bible puts it. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I have everything that I need. It's true, isn't it? I have everything that I need. Psalm 23:1 is the theme of the entire psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That our shepherd is all sufficient to adequately and abundantly meet all of our needs. And so verse 1, if you will, is the text. Just like when we preach, we take a text, a scripture, and then we amplify it and expound upon it, what it means, and explain it. That's called exegesis, or it is exposition of the text. Well, that really is what is happening here in Psalm 23, because the text is verse 1, and verses 2 through 6, that's the explanation. The Lord is my shepherd, and that's all I need. That's all I want. He's everything I need. A little girl was quoting this. Our little granddaughter Dylan is, she's five. She's already memorizing Psalm 23. It's a great one for children, of course, to memorize. But a little girl was memorizing it, and she got it just a little off when she said, the Lord is my shepherd, and that's all I want. But it's true, isn't it? When the Lord is your shepherd, he's everything you need. And when you can say that, every provision is ours in Christ, our shepherd. I will not need for peace because he makes me to lie down in green pastures. I will not need for provision because he leads me beside the still waters. I will never lack for hope or encouragement because he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I will not lack guidance, for he leads me in the paths of righteousness. I will not need deliverance, even when I walk through the deepest valleys. I will not lack companionship, for he is with me. I will not lack for protection, for his rod and his staff comfort me. I will not lack for blessing, because he prepares a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. I will not lack for help or healing in my life, because he anoints my head with oil. I will not lack for abundance. I will not lack for anything, because my cup runs over. I will not lack for an abundant and an eternal home, because it's all this in heaven too. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I would say that just about covers it, wouldn't you? Everything we need. He meets our needs, all of them, physically, emotionally, spiritually, relationally, materially. We all have three basic needs. There are external needs, there are eternal needs, and there are internal needs. External needs, we all have them. For food and water, for clothing, all the housing, the necessities of life. We have external needs. We also have, all of us, God made us this way, eternal needs. The Bible says he has set eternity in our hearts. So we were made not just for now, not just for the now life, but for the next life. We have eternal needs for forgiveness and salvation and to know God, to have a relationship with Him. We have this eternal need for heaven. And we have internal needs for meaning and purpose and love and courage and peace and happiness. All of those eternal needs and desires that we have. So those three, eternal, internal, and external. Our shepherd is sufficient to meet every need we have. Every need we have. Sometimes we wonder, am I adequate? Can I handle the problems that I face, the temptations that I deal with, the tests that I endure? Can I really do what God has called me to do? Am I able? The fact is, whether we are able or not, we do know that God is able, that God is abundant in His grace. We preached Psalm 84:11 not long ago. The Lord God is a sun, a shield. He gives grace and glory, and no good thing will He withhold from them who walk uprightly. Fast forward to the New Testament. The Apostle Paul, Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all of your needs according to His riches and glory in Jesus Christ. Not all of your greeds, but all of your needs. He said, I am going to meet them all. So yes, you have all the wisdom you need in Christ to make good decisions in your life. You have all the strength that you need to overcome temptations, whether they're the temptations of youth or the temptations of old age. You have everything you need to live a godly life in an ungodly world, to live a pure life in an impure, immoral world. This past week, there's been quite a flap regarding Mike Pence, Vice President of the United States, and some statement he made, I'm not exactly sure where, regarding what we know as the Billy Graham rule. Back when Billy Graham was a young preacher, he and his team, they had a manifesto. It was created in Modesto, California, so they called it the Modesto Manifesto. And in it, they set some guidelines as to how they were going to behave and their ethics and their morality and how they would live. And one of those rules is that they would never dine alone or be alone with a person of the opposite sex, just to maintain their testimony, their witness, to not put themselves in harm's way in any way, to not be set up for a false accusation and for a lot of reasons. And Vice President Pence recently said, you know, I've made it a practice in my life never to dine alone with another woman and never to be alone with another woman. And boy, the media just went crazy on that. Who do you think you are? What are you saying about women? What are you saying about yourself? And so on. Mocked him for his personal commitment to purity in his life. You see, students and all of us, the world will mock us for our commitment to Christ and godliness and grace in our lives. You say, can I stand up to that? Sure you can in the power of the shepherd who feeds us and leads us and supplies sufficiently everything we need. What's bothering you? What's keeping you up late at night? Is God your shepherd? Is He up to that? Of course He is. You can't sleep. Forget about counting sheep. Start trusting the shepherd. And He will make a way when there seems to be no way. There's one final thing that I want to say. So much could be said, obviously, and has been said over the years regarding Psalm 23, but let's finish with the protection that our Savior Shepherd gives us. Right in the middle of this message, this psalm, verse 4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. It's translated in some Bibles, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Yea, that doesn't mean yay for my team. It means yes, I will walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Even though, yes, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. The shepherd sometimes leads us through dark valleys in life, doesn't he? The same shepherd who leads us into paths of righteousness, righteous paths for his name's sake, at times leads us through rigorous paths, deep valleys with dark shadows. When David spoke here of the valley of the shadow of death, there is a literal place that you can visit to this day in Israel that is named the Valley of the Shadow. It may have been the very place David was referencing in Psalm 23. It's called the Wadi Kelt. I've been there many times. They've taken our children there. And it is a cavern or a canyon that begins between Bethlehem and Jerusalem up north and crevices as it way, snakes its way through the Judean desert. It starts up high. It began as a small stream, no doubt, and just cut its way through. And now it's this massive canyon, and it goes down, 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 all the way towards the Dead Sea, which is the lowest spot on earth. And this cavern is right there, this Wadi Kelt, the Valley of the Shadow. And it was dangerous for shepherds to take their sheep through this canyon, though it was necessary at times. The shepherds were taking their sheep from the upper lands to the lower lands, to the shadow lands, because down at Jericho, where it was warmer, there was grass, there was pastures. And so they needed to go through this desert and down this canyon and down this pathway into this valley and through. And it was dangerous because thieves and robbers were there, wild animals were there, like leopards and bears and all the rest. And it's sometimes very dangerous to walk only 12 feet from side to side in the cavern, and you could fall, obviously. So it was a very dangerous place and a very dark place. So when David says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, even though, yea, though, crosses every path of every believer. It's going to happen. Life is a journey. And when the Lord leads us, sometimes we are led into the shadowlands, as C.S. Lewis called it. And of course, we're not talking about real valleys here, but real problems. Problems that we all face, like illness, suffering, that's a valley. Addiction, bondages of all kinds, a valley. Kids in trouble, you're in that valley. A marriage breaking apart, you're in that valley. Or loneliness, you feel like you're so alone and maybe even depressed, that valley. All these valleys, a loved one in some kind of a crisis. Yea, though, even though, it happens to all of us. Every Christian enters those valleys, sometimes multiple times in life, with all of the valley's sorrows and all of the valley's shadows. But notice, praise God, this is a into and through passage. David did not say they went into the valley and never came out. This is not a dead end. This is not a cul-de-sac. This isn't a cave. It's a canyon. It's a valley. You go in it and you go through it and you come out the other side. Even when there seems to be no way, He makes a way. He gets us into and through. The same God who leads us in will lead us out. That'd be a good place for an amen. The same God who leads us in will lead us out. And a man was asked, who'd been walking with the Lord and been through many trials and tests and valleys in his life. He said, what's your favorite text, your favorite scripture passage? And he said, that's easy. It came to pass. Many times in the Bible, talking about events, it came to pass, and it came to pass. He said, in my life, I've seen it over and over again. It came to pass, but it didn't come to stay. And that's what our Savior Shepherd is promising us. A brighter day, a better future. For Christians, now don't miss this. For Christians, our problems are temporal, but our blessings are eternal. Now, if you're not a Christian, if you're not following the shepherd, if you don't know the Lord, your shepherd, then the opposite is true. Your blessings are temporal and your problems are eternal. This is why we all need Him. And remember this about shadows. Shadows can scare you, but they can't kill you. The valley of the shadow of death reminds us that death for the believer is a shadow. How so? Because when Jesus, the great shepherd who gave His life for you and me, the sheep, when He came to this earth on Palm Sunday, He walked into a valley, the valley of the shadow. And Jesus walked this valley of the shadow of death all alone. At least when David, the shepherd king, said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, He is with me." At least he could claim that, but Jesus, the Savior, the Son of God, when He died, He cried out, my God, why have You forsaken me?" He was all alone in the valley of the shadow of death. And He took the hit, the power of death for you and me. It is as though, just imagine this, it's a Big Mac truck is coming down the road. You're standing on the sidewalk and that truck is coming near you, and as the truck nears you, there's a shadow on that truck, and you might be tempted to jump back because the shadow may frighten you, but the truck goes right on by because the shadow rolls over you. It can't hurt you. Only the truck can hurt you. Jesus took the truck. It was a head-on collision when Christ died on the cross. And He took death and our sins, and He died for you and me. This is the gospel. Death and hell attacked Him, and he took the judgment. He stared it down. No wonder the sky went dark and the earth shook and hell celebrated. Jesus died, but He came through on the other side. And we know, looking through the light of the empty tomb, that Christ is alive and death is now defeated. So for all of us who are following our shepherd and the light of Jesus Christ, the shadows fall behind us when we turn our face towards the sun, S-O-N. When we look to the light, the shadows fall. And while death is a fearsome foe, no doubt about that, death can frighten you, but it cannot destroy you. There is a sense in which, in fact, it's not just a sense, it is reality. Christians never die. Jesus said, because I live, you will live also. We never die. So when the shadows come and fall, loved ones and friends, you yourself, you can say, I will fear no evil. I will not be afraid. Because that's just a shadow. It's not real. Jesus took what was real, and now we have his promise, his protection, his provision along the way. David turns now in this psalm the rest of the way into a personal prayer. Before, he's been talking in the third person, talking about the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still water, third person. But when he goes into the valley of the shadow, Christ was never, the shepherd was never closer to him. And thus he begins talking not about the Lord, but to the Lord. And he says, you are with me, your rod and staff, they comfort me. You prepare me a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. I know this, dear people, that the shepherd will never be nearer and dearer to you than when you walk with him and follow him through deep valleys. I've experienced it, I've seen it time and time again. Yea, though I walk through and on to the other side, no wonder he closes, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I go to prepare a place for you. It's the house of the Lord. Death is but a doorway to the presence of the Lord. This week we had a tragedy in Texas. A group of senior adults had been to a retreat at an encampment in central Texas, and they were leaving in a small bus, and an out-of-control truck hit them head on, and 13 precious senior adults on this trip stepped into eternity. We trust they all knew the Lord. Members of the First Baptist Church of New Braunfels. In fact, one who died, her granddaughter is in this church. And of course, like all the family members, are in great sorrow. Just today, I was hearing conversations on morning news about that age-old question, why do these bad things happen to such good people, and why does God allow such things? And we know these are beyond our human explanation, and we so need the Lord in times of like these. We don't need explanations, we need him. And I picked up the phone, though I didn't know him, I called the pastor, Brad McLean, of the First Baptist Church, and we had a fantastic conversation. And he's been on interviews. He's glorifying Christ. He's speaking of the resurrection. He's doing such a great job leading his church today. Can you imagine? They're having a service in that church. He was asking me, you got any advice, pastor? He's a young pastor. One of the things that I enjoy doing so much is mentoring young pastors. We had 12 young pastors here this week, and I had the opportunity to help them grow in their ministries. And this young pastor said, what do we do? And he had a good idea. He's a smart guy and a spiritual man. But I said, you know, one thing you can't do is deny it. Yea, though it happened, even though dark valley, it's real. The Shadowlands, they're here. I said, you can't let your church be a funeral service. While you're sensitive to the death and to the dying of members, it's never a funeral when you know the Lord. And so it's through and triumphant on the other side. We can't explain many of the tragedies of this life. We don't understand all the impact of death on people's lives. But we know this, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. We can trust in him and rest in him all the way through life, where goodness and mercy like two little sheepdog, follow us and lead us along with the shepherd. And then we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Those 13 senior, blessed little senior adults who stepped into eternity, they had no clue going down that road that this was their yea, though, through the valley of the shadow of death and on to the other side. But they were ready in Christ. Are you ready? The only way you can say, the Lord is my shepherd. Can you say that? The only way you can say that is to say, the shepherd, Jesus, is my Lord. You can't say, the Lord is my shepherd, until you claim the shepherd as your Lord and your Savior.